You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This service comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful you're a part of our congregation today. We invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use our broadcast to be a real blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of presenting your gospel on this service today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us to make it a blessing to those in our congregation. We're so thankful today for the love of God, the goodness of God, and the blessings of God, and we're asking thy blessings upon our congregation today, that they might be able to know God loves them, God cares for them, and God watches over them and is willing and able to help them. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, the authority of the Word. And our text of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The terms Scripture and Holy Scriptures, often used in the Bible, here means literally the Holy Writings. The word Scripture is used to mean a single quotation. See Luke chapter 4 and verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. But Scriptures used collectively includes all the inspired books of the Bible. The word testament or covenant goes beyond the meaning of the word scripture or book, and conveys an idea of the character of the writings of the book referred to. The Bible is permeated with the idea of a covenant between man and God. God first made a covenant with Noah, then with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, with the Israelites, and finally with all men through Christ. The Old Testament includes all the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi inclusive, and the New Testament includes those from Matthew to Revelation. Many are attacking the Word of God today, endeavoring to cast doubt on its inspiration and truthfulness. There are all kinds of modern ideas and modern theologians and professors out in the world today who discredit the Word of God. They discredit the idea of its divine inspiration. But regardless of how men have attacked the Scriptures down through the ages, God has seen fit to preserve His Word for us, and we have it yet today. The revelation that the Scriptures make of the one true and living God testifies as to its source. While the idea of a supreme being is universal, His nature and His relation with men are necessarily subjects of revelation. Divine inspiration, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And beloved, let me say right here at this point, God never inspired a lie. God, which cannot lie, the Bible tells us, is full of light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. And the Holy Spirit, who inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures, is called the Spirit of Truth, and so He is. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and are true. Now these were given by God for this cause. Also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also you in you that believe. And that's Paul's letter, first letter, to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 2 and verse 13. And Paul here tells them that they had received the word of God, and they had indeed received the word of God, not men's ideas, not men's opinions, not mere theories, but they had indeed received the word of God, because that is what Paul preached to them. The law of the Lord, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we read in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway, and it contains the law of God. In the old covenant, of course, it was the old Mosaic law, as it is commonly referred to, but we are living under the new covenant, and so we are under the law of Christ. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now Jesus Christ himself used the Word of God. We remember in Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights there in the wilderness of Judea, Satan came to him. The Bible tells us that after Jesus ended his fast, he was hungry. And old Satan tried to take advantage of that hunger and came to him, tempting him to turn the stones that were there into bread. And Jesus could have made the finest bread that you could possibly eat, but he would not follow Satan's suggestion or give in to Satan. He said, "Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then Satan took him up on the pinnacle of the temple there and tempted him to jump off to show his power. And Satan even quoted a scripture to him that he would bear him thee up in his hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Yes, Satan knows the scriptures. He can quote them, but he misrepresents them. Jesus told old Satan there in that second temptation, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And he resisted Satan by using the Word of God. The third temptation we read of in Matthew 4 was Satan took him up unto a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, "I'll give you these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me." Yes, Satan was seeking to get Christ to worship him. But Jesus Christ came back with the Word of God and let him know that they were not to worship idols, but they were to worship the true and the living God. And that is true for us yet today. The Word is holy, and that from a child, Paul wrote to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Timothy had a good godly mother and a good godly grandmother, and they had taught him the holy scriptures. And Paul said here that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now the Word of God is given to us as a standard of teaching. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Again, Paul's writings to the young man Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and also our text of Scripture. And I'll read that one for you again also. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the Scriptures are holy, holy Scriptures that'll make you wise unto salvation. The standard of teaching is also found in the Word of God, as I have just read. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, we are not to add to, and we're not to take from, the Word of God. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord God, your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. We also read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." The prophecy that we have in the scriptures is positive proof to me of the inspiration of the Bible. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. I have said a number of times, and I repeated on this broadcast, the fulfillment of prophecy is one of the most convincing things that proves the truth of the Bible. F.G. Smith, in his book, What the Bible Teaches, said, "Prophecy furnishes the greatest external proof of its inspiration to this more than anything else. Christ and the apostles made their constant appeal to the scriptures." And we read in the book of Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he did not know what its meaning was. And someone told him about Daniel, and he brought Daniel in, and he told him his dream. And Daniel then began to reveal to him the meaning of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar had seen a great image that had four parts, and Daniel tells him that each of those four parts represented four world ruling kingdoms. And he told Nebuchadnezzar that he, in effect, was the head of gold, the first one. And the first kingdom was, of course, the Babylonian kingdom. The second one was the Medo-Persian. The third one was the Grecian. And the fourth one was the pagan Roman kingdom. And we find this in Daniel 2 and 44. As we read here in this passage of Scripture, where Daniel was told, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be left or be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." When it says it would not be left to other peoples, it simply means that the kingdom that was prophesied that would be set up would be ruled over by Jesus Christ, and he alone would be the king of the kingdom of God. Now we read in the second chapter of Daniel, going back to verse 32, "This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron and clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. So the 34th verse of Daniel 2 is talking about the kingdom of God. It was represented by the stone that was cut out of the mountain. And we read in first chapter of the book of Mark where Jesus, let me read this from Mark 1 beginning with verse 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, beloved, these prophecies, these visions that Nebuchadnezzar had and the interpretation that Daniel gave of them, they came to pass just exactly as we find written in the Word of God. So again, I say prophecy is one of the most positive proofs of the divine inspiration of the Word of God. Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy tells of Christ, his anointing, his being cut off and slain in Daniel 9, and that came to pass just as it was prophesied. Elijah told King Ahab of the destruction of his kingdom and declared, the dog shall eat Jezebel, his wife, by the wall of Jezreel, 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 23. And that prophecy came to pass just exactly as the prophet told King Ahab. And King Ahab himself, his blood was shed there, right where he had Naboth slain. Although Ahab had wounded quite a distance from there, they brought the chariot right to that spot and washed his blood out of it. Yes, the prophecy came to pass just like Elijah had told Ahab. Now, the word is to live by. Again, referring to Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're told in James chapter 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and 4. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Those who are truly serving God are obeying his word. The world can fight it. Agnostics can deny it. Infidels can claim they don't believe it. But that does not change it. The word of God is still forever settled in heaven, and it will abide forever. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the privilege of sharing it with this precious people. We pray that it shall be a blessing to each one. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. It would be an encouragement if you'd take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our email is at truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Avner Craig inviting you to be with us next week when, God willing, we'll bring you another Way of Truth broadcast.
God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. I believe.